Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Fergie Time, a Daily Record podcast with myself, Keith Jackson, and of course a special man, the man himself, Barry Ferguson. Today, we're going to be discussing, looking back a little bit on some of the weekend action. There's some big talking points on that. But mainly we're going to be looking forward to the start of the Europa League, both Celtic and Rangers in action this week. And looking back, Barry, on some of your memories of European football and just what these guys are about to get themselves involved in and what it means to a football player to play at that level. First of all, though, I think we need to look back and pay some attention to what's going on at the weekend there. Specifically, you know, another win for Rangers, another win for Celtic. That carries on, the league thing carries on. Big blow for Rangers with Ryan Kent's hamstring, Barry. The early indications appear to say it could be anything up to 6 weeks. You were telling me that that would be a fairly significant injury if that's the case.
Yeah, well, if it's a hamstring injury and you're out for 6 weeks, that's a serious tear in your hamstring. I was, surprised. Obviously, big signing, massive player to come back. He's, the manager's obviously thought they need to throw him in. I would have probably done the same. But listen, it's a massive blow. He's
felt a little bit rushed to me, Barry. As if, yeah, you know, he's listen, got his guy and he's desperate to get him out there.
Look, he's not played a lot of football. Let's be honest, when he's been at Liverpool. But listen, when you go and bring a player in like him and what he done for Rangers last season, I thought he was the top man for Rangers, certainly in the big games. Mm-hmm. You go and pay £7 million, which is a hell of a lot of money for Rangers. I can see why the managers went and threw him in, because he is a top player, let's be honest. And I'm sure all the fans that went to Ibrox were desperate to see him again. But for him now to boot for 6 weeks is it's a body blow, let's be honest. Because as
my point is here, Baz, in this situation, has Gerrard shown a little bit of inexperience? Because there has been a little bit of that through his...
I don't think he has.
It's just freak bad luck that this has happened.
Yep, because listen, he'll be a naturally fit boy, just no played a lot of football. Look, I would have been the same. If I'm signing somebody at £7 million, I'm desperate to get him out in that pitch for
the fans
to see him.
Signing somebody for £7 million at Celtic Hearts, then
I'm on a different planet, aren't I?
It's £70,000.
No, £70,000. I don't think he's rushed. He's just excited with getting him in. Mm. Look, you could see in the manager's face when he was speaking about him, he was frustrated that it looked if it wasn't going to happen. Obviously, last day of the window, it goes and it happens, and they bring him into the club. And then, for me, he's just been desperate to get him on that field. You see, he's trained all week, so there's been no signs that he's been rushed. Just a lack of game time, but the only way you're going to get fit is getting on that pitch and playing.
It's a huge blow for him, though, if he is, because if it is 6 weeks, he could be missing just about all of this Europa League campaign, which we're about to talk about. But, you know, you go out your way, you get that sort of money to get a signing like that, and then you miss him for the Europa League.
Yeah, but that's why he's got a big squad. He's got like Ojo still there. He's got Brandon Barker. Arfield can play out there. But look, that is a blow. Look, I thought he was a great signing, as I said last year. I hadn't seen, I'll be honest with you, I hadn't seen the boy play. He'd heard his name. He'd been out on loan, at a couple of clubs. It never really worked for him, but I thought when he came up here, he was the shining light in the Rangers team at times. He was that bit of difference you need in the final third.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing for me is he showed up in the big games.
Mm-hmm.
I.e. the old
Firm
games.
He's got a good appetite for it.
He is, and listen, there's a lot of pressure on his shoulders now. £7 million, as I said before, it's a lot of money to spend, especially for Scottish football at this moment in time. So I think it's a blow, but look, that's why Rangers have got a big squad.
Did it look like a tear to you when you saw him? I mean, you can tell me the difference here between tearing a hamstring, nicking a hamstring, straining a hamstring. What's, you know, in terms of how it feels as a player and the...
Well, I was lucky enough that I never tore anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just had slight strains or whatever. But you could see in his face that he was in a bit of pain.
But the tear, is that actually what it comes away off the
bone?
No,
just your muscle tears. It's one of the... Look, you could be the fattest guy ever and you could play every single game. It's just your pot luck.
Mm-hmm.
The way the football is now, it's that explosive, isn't it? Everybody's that fit. And it could be anything. It could be a bit of tiredness creeping in. We obviously know we can't, because it was early on in the game. But look, it's just any bad luck.
Yeah.
He's not played a lot of football, I get that. But listen, he'll be fit. The amount of training that modern day football players do, and the amount of gym work they do, and the amount of like kind of recovery stuff they get, I just put it down to a bit of bad luck. I don't think the manager's rushed him back. He's just been excited that he's got him in and he's wanted to get him out in that part as quickly as possible.
For Celtic, Barry, did you see any other match at Hamilton?
I seen the first half, yep, before I went down to sunny Auchinleck to watch Auchinleck play. They were an easy street in the first half. I thought when they scored the early doors, first 3 or 4 minutes, I thought it was a case of them going on and getting another few goals, but look, it never happened. But I don't think they looked under any pressure at any stage. But it's one of the ones, Jacko, when I played, when you've got a lot of players away in international duty, you've got that 2 week break, you get, obviously the boys would have got 5 or 6 days off to go and recover. Normally when you come back for that 2 weeks been off, it's just a case of getting the 3 points. It's,
yeah, grinding
look,
it.
Aye, look, you don't care how you play. Look, you want to go and play well, but it's a case of you've only got the players 2 or 3 days before your league game. So it's a case of just getting the 3 points on the board, because 2 or 3 weeks down the line, nobody will bother how you played.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what's...
Well, it's 5-5, which is the important statistic for Celtic, isn't it? And I wrote a couple of weeks ago, right before the season started, it might take near 100 points to win this title this year. I just think that Celtic and Rangers, there's a gap between the two of them, the rest of the field, which means I think there's going to be a lot of...
I think you're bang on. I think there's a clear gap between the two and the rest. And that's me no been harsh on Aberdeen. You just need to look what's happening with Hearts and Hibs now. I've got a sneaky feeling you might laugh here. I think Motherwell might be a surprise package this year.
I absolutely agree with you.
I just think that the job that he's done there, the players that he goes and brings in, he goes down to the conference and nips some diamonds, rough diamonds, right? But do you know what? I think they could be a surprise package. But I think
they're also playing far better football than they had originally. He went in there and thought, neat start winning games. He did that. He won games. It wasn't very pretty.
And then he changed the way he played.
But he's changed it.
Yep.
And they are a better side, a more attractive side to watch now.
Yep.
But I honestly believe, I think you're going to be getting close to 100 points.
I think you're right. I don't think MD's going to touch Rangers or Celtic this year. It's going to be clearly, as I've said plenty of times before, it's going to come down to the Old Firm games.
Mm.
If both Celtic and Rangers are on it and their attitudes are right, I don't see MD taking points off them, and that's away from home as well. I really don't. If they're on it, it's going to come down to the Old Firm games for me.
Well, we'll come back to what's happened there at the weekend, because obviously we've got major things to discuss in terms of looking forward to the Edinburgh Derby and what is going on in the capital right now. I mean, this is a shambolic run for both of these big sides, and they're really, you know, punching way beneath their weight, and we'll need to discuss that later. But I think the most important thing right now, Barry, you've just said there about, you know, Celtic, Rangers so far out in front of the rest. Well, now the Europa League group stages are about to start.
Mm.
Exciting, obviously, because, you know, it's European football. there'll be, you know, full houses more or more or less at Celtic Park and Ibrox for these matches. A lot of excitement around about it. What difference does it make though to the players, right? When and you're in a cutthroat league competition, mm-hmm. and it is what we're just discussing, you might need to get about 100 points out of your league, and all of a sudden, bang, you've got six games Europa League. As a player, can it distract you? Can it have a negative impact in terms of the travelling, the fatigue, the coming back, you know, to play in the weekend, playing every Sunday as opposed to Saturday games? I'm wondering if, from a player's perspective, how it affects you, what effect it can have.
I can only go with my experience. I don't think it's a distraction at all. If you ask any player, I was certainly, when the mindset of this, I would rather play games than train all week and just play Saturday to Saturday or Saturday and Sunday. I would rather play during the week. Mm-hmm. The excitement of Europe, especially at home, under the lights at Ibrox, a full house, you can't get any better mm-hmm. in European nights. It's a different sort of atmosphere in terms of, well, obviously the weekend games are during the day. I just love night games, going for my wee sleep in the afternoon, getting up, getting all excited, coming in the bus and getting out, and I just felt the atmosphere was always different in mm-hmm. European nights. I get it, it was Champions League, but even, look, the second best thing is the Europa League. I'm not a massive fan of it, but it's Europe. You're back, European football at Ibrox. The players have got to go and enjoy it. And even getting away from home, I used to love going and seeing different places, different stadiums.
That's coming the thing, up though, against players, you don't get to see these places. You see hotel rooms.
Yeah,
buses.
You don't. I don't mean to see different places. I mean go and experience different atmospheres and different.
It's different for different, the best boys. We could get it.
Aye, well, yous were lucky enough. That's why I used to look at reports on a Thursday morning and think they were half candid. Don't you think they were watching the games? But I thought
not,
I played well when I got a few out of 10.
Record you were reading there,
but no. I used to enjoy the different experience going and playing against different players who you'd seen on video, you had read about, but it was good to come up against these players in a few hostile environments as well. I loved it. Aye. I don't, and especially nowadays, it was just creeping in probably mid-2000s that the way that you were getting looked after as a player in terms of sports science and that, mm-hmm. the amount of recovery stuff you got in terms of shakes and your ice bath started coming in, and the medical staff used to, when I first started off, it was a physio and a doctor. At the end of the day, the medical staff was like 6, 7, 8 people, and that's not even including masseurs. So the players get looked after. There's no excuses in terms of tiredness. The amount of things that get done for them now, the amount of things that are out there for them now to help aid recovery, it's not an excuse. But if you ask a player, you want to just play.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested, you know, you talk about it's different because it's a European game, it's a nighttime game, you've got that delay through the day where mm-hmm. there's a build up of excitement, whereas if you're playing, for example, your old firm matches more often than not, probably 12, half 12, so there was no time, you were up, you were away, and, mm-hmm. but imagine that delay of waiting all day thinking, we've got Feyenoord tonight or whatever. What's that like for a player?
Well, the night before the European games, I used to try and get up early the next morning, maybe about 7, 8 o'clock, and you would go and get your breakfast, you would go a walk, and then you would get your lunch, and then obviously try and get a sleep. And I felt, you get that wee sleep, half an hour, 45 minutes, that's all I used to try and get, and then I would be buzzing. I just loved the European nights. As I say, you're coming up against good players, top players, and this is what the Rangers players should be excited about. I look at the group they're in, and you've got two teams for me, Feyenoord and Porto, who are Champions League teams.
Mm-hmm.
So go and enjoy it, go and
it's a big step up in class for the last group, isn't it?
It is a big step up in class, but if you're a football player, that's what you want. You want to go and pit your wits against these guys and go and show that Rangers are in the right track. You know what I mean? And they are, listen, that second year in the road of progressed. I will want to be in the Champions League, but it's a stepping stone for me now.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Europe, you're back, full house, under the lights. You can't get any better than that.
Well, we'll talk about Celtic's group just now, but I want to come back because obviously the last time Rangers played Feyenoord in European competition was, what am I going,
2002. Aye.
And you were going for a place in the last eight of the Europa League, and obviously, or the European Cup it might have been at that time even. So I want to speak to you about your memories of that because I'm sure they're pretty vivid.
And you're bringing things back. Until you actually say then, it comes back to us that night.
Aye, well, let's look first, because we're talking about a step up in class for Rangers. Celtic's group, Lazio, Rennes, Cluj. Again, these are massive clubs, massive matches.
Lazio, massive club.
Have you been there, near stadium?
No, I've never been to Lazio Stadium.
It's miles out the middle of Rome. It's like a work of art from the outside. Mm-hmm. There's statues. I mean, it's incredible. I would imagine as a football player, when you're driving the bus in there, you think, oh my God, and it's built trees all around it, up in the hills. It's sensational.
Ah, but that's, again, you want to be involved in it. Either there'll be a load of disappointment on their side, you know, getting in the Champions League, but they've got Cluj again, so you've got to put one over them. I just loved Europe. I did. I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I've got so many great memories of playing in Europe, whether it be Champions League, whether it be, well, it's a Europa League now, it was the UEFA Cup.
Yeah.
Back
it's
then.
It's still a big competition. And I think we, as Scottish people, are going to have to get used to the idea
that's
that
a big
the
competition.
Europa League is probably the level that our clubs are going to be operating at more often than not.
Yeah, but you've still got to have that ambition to getting the Champions League. The Champions League is amazing. Look, the next best thing is obviously Europa League, as I says to you. It's getting, I'm going in the side of the Rangers, and it's getting European football back to Ibrox for a start. That's the main thing.
Well, you said it, and the names of the clubs that are competing in the Europa League now, it does feel like that, you know. Yep. When you've got Lazio's and Feyenoord's and Porto's, I mean, these are big time clubs. This is big time football.
That's what you want. You want to play against these guys. And for me, I look at Rangers group, I know you're talking about Celtic, but I look at Rangers group, that's a Champions League group. That's clubs with great traditions of being in the Champions League. Great stadiums, great atmosphere. Feyenoord's a great place to play. Oh, I loved it.
That's a better bit of a place, isn't it?
That's what you want. That's what you want. Porto, it's a beautiful stadium. Porto, it's merely, it's different for Feyenoord.
It's not as intense as Feyenoord.
Feyenoord was intense. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed playing all there, albeit we get beat, but I loved it. It was non-stop singing.
I was
for
on
the
edge. You feel as if it's on the edge in there.
We went out an hour before. Well, sorry, we walked out of the pitch to, you know, you walk out and you have a wee wander about and see what the pitch is like. Their fans were in early doors singing, and that's what you want to be involved. They were trying to create a hostile environment. I loved that. I loved that. That's what you want as a player. That's what football's all about.
Right, well, let's go on that just now. We're talking about this tie against Feyenoord 2002, and it was 1-1 in the first leg at Ibrox.
Yeah, I remember it.
You scored a late penalty kick to equalise, didn't you?
I remember it. Windy night, wet night. They were a good team. Well, not a good team, they were a very good team. They had a young Van Persie up front.
That's the first time I'd ever seen Van Persie.
Aye, well, we obviously get told about him with the Dutch connection, obviously, with like Arthur and all that being there. There's this young boy up front, skinny, but the boy can
the wing,
play.
Didn't he?
Aye, but well, some of the video we watched, he played through the middle, or he played out right, he played out left, he played anywhere, but he was the next best thing to come out of Holland. And he was a player, and obviously his partner up front was well known for playing for Celtic. Yeah. Big Pierre, who, to be fair, was for me, I thought he was a top player. And then also, I just kind of look at who was in the middle of the park, and there was obviously Dutch international, Botsveld. And obviously, when I'm a bit younger, I'm asking Arthur, who was my go-to guy with experience, and what's this guy like in the middle of the park? He says, he's a dirty fucking, like, he gets fired into you, and he'll try and rile you up. And that was things that enjoyed, you know what I mean? It was coming up against these guys, and I remember he whacked us a couple of times early doors, but I enjoyed that side of things and coming up and seeing if you could do what these type of guys.
Well, you weren't a young boy at that point, though, were you, really?
I was 21, 22.
Really?
Still young.
Still, right, okay, aye. Because I'm thinking back to Lothar Matthäus.
Aye, he poked us in the eye, aye.
Aye, you were even younger then.
Yep.
What age would you been then? 20? 19?
I would have been about that. I think, was that 2000?
Round about.
Aye, I would have been aye, round about 20 year old.
That was you coming of age. I remember that match. I remember him, and he actually looked, from our perspective, watching it as if he'd gone out his way to try and rail you. So there's that young boy. I'll get the eyes out of him.
Aye, but he's one of the guys I watched on telly.
Exactly.
And I thought to myself, well, what a player he was, the captain of Germany, and playing with the best club in Germany, Bayern Munich, and you were coming up against him, and that was you at that stage trying to make a name for yourself in terms of what you could do with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And just one of the ones, I was just running about him and try to, obviously their experience, they try and rile you up, but you obviously try and get in and show that you're no
intimidated.
You're not taking the bait, which I took the bait a few times in my in my career, but look, that's what it's all about.
Can you remember, was there a
I just remember he kind of put his fingers towards me, and one of his fingers went in my eye. I couldn't see for about 35 seconds. It was one of the kind of blurry ways, but I try to stand up to me boy for Glasgow, well, for Hamilton, try to stand up to probably one of the most famous players at that time.
Oh, aye.
Matthäus. But again, that's what it was all about, playing in the big games, playing against the big players, seeing what these guys done. And,
well, that's what I'm going to say. Right,
and
I'm
used
imagining.
To take a lot, see when I played against these guys. Aye, the 90 minutes, I respected everybody I played against before I crossed that white line. But see, when that whistle went, the respect went out the window. But during the game, you used to try and take wee pointers and maybe look back at it and think what these guys done during the game.
But for me, if I'm 19, right, and I'm up against Lothar Matthäus, as you said, you know, you've grown up watching this guy dominate midfields and World Cups and aye. All sorts. And if I felt 19, I've got this guy. I've rattled him a wee bit. You know, the fact that he's actually poking me in the eye, the fact that he's reacting to me, the fact that he even realises I'm on the same pitch as him, that'd do me. I'd be happy with that. Was it for you? Was that a kind of coming of age?
No, I never thought it in that way. I just always went out with the mentality come up against these guys knowing that I was not going to be a pushover. I was a bit young, skinny, strip a bit too big for me, but I used to go out and what's the word I'm looking for? I just used to go out and just be big and tall against these guys, you know what I mean? Quite a lot of players with it, and maybe went into their
shells.
I made that point. You know, being like that, and that was the upbringing I had at Rangers, you know what I mean? That was down to the coaches I had, that was down to my dad and my brother.
Mm-hmm.
I never feared anybody, I respected, but I went out.
You weren't going to let them see that you were in any way.
No, I went out with the mindset of going, say, right, I want them to think after the game, hey, by the way, that boy's no bad. That was the kind of mindset I always went out in the pitch, whether it was playing Premier League here or whether it was playing Champions League against a top team. I just went out with that mindset, you know, fearing that. I think if you go out and you start to be annoyed who you're playing against,
and you've lost the game before you started.
As I say, I always respected him. I mean, he was an unbelievable player. I could rhyme off quite a number of players who I played against who played at the World Cup finals, semi-finals, played at top clubs other days, won loads of trophies. I respect him, but you cross that white line, the respect goes out the window. And that's just the mindset that I always had as a player. So and I took that right through my career.
You're up against Bosvelt then at Ibrox in that first leg against Feyenoord. He's rattled you a couple of times. What's your reaction?
Ah, good. I like it. I like it. It riled me on a wee bit to say, right, I'm in a game against you. Listen, he was a good player. He's a Dutch international.
Well, he was a seasoned Dutch international at that point, wasn't he?
And again, I didn't mind that. You got to take as good as you get. That game that night, they were a good team. We watched them plenty of times on video. Obviously, the players that I mentioned there, Bosvelt, Van Persie, Van Hooijdonk, we were up against a good team, but we were also a good team.
Japanese internationals.
Ono scored the goal, I remember it. He was a good player as well. I think it was a deflection off Big Bert Conterman. But again, that was the strength of that team that I played in. It could have been easy to feel sorry for yourself, and they could have went on and... If we did start feeling sorry for ourselves, they could have went on and scored another two or three goals, but we didn't. We grinded it, and we got the draw, and obviously went across there, and it never went according to plan, but I thought we were the better team over there.
Well, there wasn't much in it, was it, over the two legs? What was it? They won the second 3-2. Leg 3-2, and Hooijdonk two free kicks.
Aye. I remember that one. I called him a couple of things.
Did you?
No, to him, he was too big. Just under my breath.
I mean,
it'd be fair, that was one of his trademarks.
It was
it?
By that point in his career, yeah, he was.
He was coming to the. He was coming to the end. He had 1 or 2 years after that, didn't he?
I think so, yeah. But at that point, he'd gone back to home.
But we spoke about it. We spoke about it, trying no. Give any free kicks away, run about the edge of the box, 25 yards out, because that's one thing that he could do. Even with the quality goalkeepers we had, again, it's just one of the things. In the game, free kicks are given away. Some of them were soft, but let's be honest, the free kicks that he scored were quality free kicks.
Different class. Different class. This current Feyenoord side has been struggling a little bit. It won the championship, I think, 3 years ago. It's been miles off the last couple of years. Has obviously qualified for the Europa League. But they're not top notch. They're not Ajax.
Yep.
Jaap Stam, the new manager. I think they're sitting seventh in the Dutch Eredivisie. Today is
say that again?
No, I'm not going to Eredivisie. They're sitting seventh, struggling for form. I think they've only had a couple of wins out of five.
Yeah.
You know, should Rangers... Where do you rate this against the challenge that you faced back then? Or is it
it's different. Both teams are different.
Yeah.
They're obviously, as you say, they've had a difficult time. I always kept an eye on them. For simple fact, my ex-teammate was a manager and done a great job there.
Van Bronckhorst.
Gio, yep. And obviously, they've got another... Well, he was a top player, wasn't he? Yep, Stam in charge. Look, they're not the same, but one thing you will get for a Dutch team is they'll be technically good. They'll be able to handle the ball and they'll enjoy playing on Ibrox. Right, they might not be the same strength in terms of quality, but it's a big club.
Yeah.
Feyenoord.
Mm-hmm. Big name.
A big name. They're coming to Ibrox on a Thursday night under the lights. It's a great chance for these players to show that they can compete with a big club. I don't know the team that they have been previously. I think it was 2 years ago they won the Dutch. Was it 2 or 3 years ago?
3 years ago.
I don't know as strong as back then, but they'll still be a strong opponent.
Mm. Did you ever play against Jaap Stam, by the way?
I must have when I was down in England. I must have. Yep.
I only ask because I'm interested to know. I remember I went to Eindhoven when Dick Advocaat, I remember Dick Advocaat got given the Rangers job, but it was like months
six
in
months
advance.
Before, it was 6 months before.
And I went out to Feyenoord PSV, to Eindhoven, to go and do some interviews, speak to Advocaat, all that. This is months in advance, I'm coming. And I remember getting Jaap Stam around a table, and the guy was brilliant. Could have been more helpful. Great. Gave us a great interview. Delighted. Headed back. That was fine. Now, fast forward a couple of years, Jaap Stam at Manchester United, and we've been sent down to do a Champions League game. couldn't get any interviews. The Mix Zone was a washout. Nobody was interested. Billy Big Time's down there. And I thought, I remember walking out going, oh, I've got to go back up the road here and I don't have an interview. This is a nightmare. And I'm standing in the car park outside Old Trafford. And out walks Yap Stamp to go to his car. I thought, oh, you're a belter. So I said, Yap. And he just kind of looked at me, didn't say anything. I said, Yap, you won't remember me, but a couple of years ago, I came out of Eindhoven. You did a great interview with me about Dick Advocaat. So, you know, that was really, really kind of you. I was just, oh, that must have been very nice for you. And he turns and walks away and just goes straight to his car. And I was standing there raging, total blank by him. So I'm thinking, I can't work out if this is because he'd gone to Man United and become really arrogant, or if he was just arrogant in the first place, but helping us out. Anyway,
that was a bit of the Dutch. Look, I get asked that quite a lot about the Dutch.
And their arrogance.
Aye, but they believed in themselves.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing I got from. I mean,
incredible levels of self-belief.
I think that's a good trait to have. They believe so much in themselves.
Aye.
That's probably quite a lot of people, but they like the Dutch. Yeah, they think they're this, but do you know what? See, when you actually get to know them, great people.
Aye.
I loved them. I learnt so much off, like, say, Arthur Newman. I mean, you know that Ronald was. What a man he was, you know what I mean?
Well, have you ever met anybody with that level of self-confidence?
Aye, but he could play. He came to us with, he couldn't even bend his leg. He could only bend it probably halfway. Some of the things he'd done with a football.
Well, just through wear and tear?
Aye, well, he had an injury at Barca. I think that's why Barca let him go. And we signed him. And he never trained every day. After every session, he used to have ice packs all over his knee, but I just used to laugh at the amount of self belief he had.
Breathtaking,
Alex. Aye, but he could do some things with a ball that were frightening in a training ground. They were all like that. I quite liked it.
Was peak Dutch. I thought he took it to a different level.
Aye, but once, as I says, you get to know these guys, they're deep down there.
Aye.
Top guys.
Did
top
you find
blokes.
It funny then, that sort of a stuff?
Aye, I thought at the start, I'm like, it's just a wind up, you know what I mean? But as it went on, it's just the way he was. He just unbelievable self belief. And I loved that.
Mm.
I loved that.
So that's another thing the Rangers will be taking on then, because as you said, it's a sort of a Dutch trait. So this Feyenoord side, the younger side, going through a transition, but you know fine well their players are going to believe in themselves when they turn up.
Aye, listen, they're going to come. I mean, let's be honest, the Ibrox pitch is like a bowling green, so it'll suit them down to a tee, the way that, you know, the typical Dutch way, get the ball down and play. That's what they'll do. As I say, they're not as strong as they were before. I think Rangers have got a great chance, certainly with the fans behind them. And as you say, it's a young Feyenoord team.
Mm-hmm.
So if Rangers get out the traps, which was a trademark yours in European games,
mm-hmm.
unless you were playing.
Especially with that atmosphere, you can imagine inside the place you'd be busting to.
Aye, we had that. We had a different way of playing, and that's all the different managers, whether it be Dick, Alec, McLeish, Walter Smith. We had a certain way of playing at Ibrox, and that was getting people's faces and go for it, because you've got the crowd away from home. We were a bit more
cautious.
Aye, which listen, you've got to be, because if you go out and you come again, you go out and you try and play the same way you do as at home as away, you're going to get caught out. So look, Rangers, if they get out the traps and they make it uncomfy for this team, that could be a sign of a good night for them.
Right, so you're tipping a decent result for Rangers.
I would always tip Rangers at home. No, just I know a lot of people say, it's because you're a blue tinted specs on your Rangers fan, this and that. I always believe Rangers at home, especially on a European night. As I say, the atmosphere's different under the lights.
Mm-hmm.
I would always fancy Rangers.
Well, that'd be a great start of the campaign if Rangers could start with a win. Celtic, I think. It's a really, really tricky one. This is going away to Rennes for the start of the group.
Yep.
What's your knowledge of the French game just now? I think Rennes are sitting in second place in the league, which is an indication.
No, too. Look, you obviously know the well-known teams, but Rennes, as you say, is sitting up near the top end of the league. a lot of decent players. It'll be a hard one, but you know what? I looked at Lenny's performance and his team when he went to Ibrox a couple of weeks ago, and I was really impressed. He always obviously worked hard on the training ground, and I'm sure he'll know this will be the same scenario going on to away from home in Europe. As I just mentioned a couple of minutes ago, you've got to play different away from home. And I've seen a different side of Neil Lennon. Well, second time run.
That's an interesting one, right? Because you obviously know Lennon very well from your battles against each other as players, but you kind of had a grudging respect and admiration for each other. I actually think, maybe because of his image, maybe because he's always been a feisty guy, I'm not sure that people give him enough credit for the tactician that he is. And I think he showed it as Celtic's manager first time round in Europe.
I'm with you. I think if you look back at his record, the first time run was very good.
Yeah.
It's just things that happen. I think a lot what happened maybe off the field and stuff, what he's like in the side of the pitch. A bit of fire about him.
I think he's far more intelligent than people give him credit for.
Well, I'm the same, but a lot of people have got an opinion. They don't. It's like myself. People have an opinion of myself. They don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
But they feel it's right to give their opinion. The same with Lenny. I think he doesn't get enough credit for what he actually does. In terms of the shape his teams, you seen some of the stick he was getting last year. Aye, it wasn't great, but better than mind, he came in a difficult time, didn't he? Yeah. It wasn't he? You can't come in and change straight away.
Well, he was determined not to do that. Aye, he made a point of saying, I can't change what Brendan Rodgers has done here. I just need to keep this ticking over.
You just need to get to the end of the line. And then the summer's the time where you can change, when you get in for pre-season, you get your own players in, and you get a way of playing that you're comfy with. You can't change midway through a season, because it could cause problems. And it's the same with Steven Gerrard when he came in. He had a small period of time. First, I'm talking about start of last season, he had a small period of time to turn a hell of a lot of players over. Change the shambles which was before, and I don't think he got enough credit for that either, because that's difficult. A lot of shifting and players, a lot of players in and out, and people are quick to jump on the bandwagon and criticise these guys.
Well, did you find it unusual or strange that, because there was a high percentage of Celtic supporters who were actually saying, well, we don't want Neil Lennon, we've had Neil Lennon, we've had Brendan Rodgers, we need another Brendan Rodgers. There was a reluctance to accept Neil Lennon back in, which I found really strange given everything he's done for the football club over the years. But plus the fact, I keep coming back to it, you know, I think that he's underestimated.
Yeah, I've seen loads of comments in the press or listening to people on radios when you're in the car going to training or wherever you're going, and people weren't having him. And then
I think those numbers are dwindling.
Well, I think it was dwindling 2 weeks ago with the result in the Old Firm game. Yeah, it started again after the exit of Champions League. But you see a difference in him when you watch him in his interviews. You know what I mean? There's a bit of calmness about him now.
A wee bit calmer.
Yep. But he's still fiery.
I always get the feel with Lenny that, yes, he looks a wee bit calmer, but you're only...
Do you mind that seeing the side of the pitch?
No,
whether
I don't.
It's Neil Lennon, whether it's Steven Gerrard, whether it's another manager. I love seeing managers
with a bit of fire.
If your team's going to go, what do you want? You stand with your hands in your pocket and no say anything. You've got to be passionate. If you're not passionate, I'm a big believer in it comes from the side of the park, and alright, you're on the pitch and it's up to the players to create that. But if you've got a bit of passion coming for the sidelines, i.e. your manager or coaching staff, that translates onto the pitch as well, and I like that. I like that in somebody.
How well did you get to know Lenny?
I bumped into him a few times out with the football.
There was a real element of respect between the two.
I always respected him, as I says to you about 10-15 minutes ago. Across that white line, that respect went straight out the window.
It did look as if the two of you would have ripped each other's throats out of the first opportunity,
which I don't mind. That's part and parcel of you being a footballer. But there was mutual respect off it. You respected what it carried being captain of the team you supported as a boy as well. It just wasn't that you were carrying your players in terms of you had a lot of responsibility on you. You're also carrying thousands and thousands of fans.
And you appreciated that he had that same pressure, yep, except on the, yep, other side of the
and
city.
As soon as you'd done something wrong, people were bang straight on you. But listen, that is part of being in Scotland, part of being in the west of Scotland with two of the biggest clubs. Not in the west of Scotland, but in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You were carrying a lot on your shoulders. And any slight bit of misbehaviour get jumped upon, but that was fine. I knew that.
And both of you were prone to the odd error of judgment.
I was prone to a few. which I look back on and you could give yourself a slap, but that's me.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm not perfect. But
Neil Lennon was very similar. Two fiery characters. Did he not surprise you? Was there not a birthday gathering where...
Aye, he'd done a video thing.
What was that for?
MB.
Right, that's what it was.
He'd done a video thing.
Hold on, set the scene. So there was a party in your house following this?
Aye, but somebody had done a video that people were just speaking. And the last one come up and my seat in the house, which I don't like anybody sitting on. It's only me.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I know. Well,
are you telling me you've got OCD?
Are you surprised?
No.
And then I've got three cups that I put my tea in that I don't like anybody using. So you can imagine how I was feeling when Lenny was sitting on my chair.
And where are you at this point when you're seeing the video?
I'm standing at a party.
And the party is?
I nearly choked my pint.
In the house?
Aye.
And this is Neil Lennon.
I nearly choked
in
my beer.
In your favourite seat, drinking tea out of your favourite cup.
Yep. So you can imagine. But listen, that's just, people don't know that about him, you know what I mean? And I'm the same, like the Celtic and Rangers thing. Hey, I'm never going to hide what I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Rangers fan. I got brought up a Rangers fan. I support Rangers. But also, listen, I've got friends that are Celtic supporters. I'm respectful.
Mm-hmm.
But that respect went out the window as soon as you come up against.
I'm just interested because it's a little insight into, yep, what the real relationship's like.
You want to kick
lumps out each other on the pitch, but
it's like if you bump into a player in a restaurant or in a bar, you're having a couple of drinks. It's not that you don't talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing? How's things? Are you alright? Quick minute or two, have a beer and then that's you. But people don't see that side of, I'm not just talking about Lenny or myself, people don't see that.
Of footballers in general.
Yep.
They see a certain persona that's on the pitch. Yours, yep, was a torn face, wanting to fight with everybody's face, wee angry man.
Uh-huh.
Lenny had a touch of that, the kind of red hair, aggressive. Yeah, I've met so many. Look, Scott Brown's an actual example.
Yep.
There's a guy that's got this on-field persona, and I'm sure that he actually hams it up, Scott. I'm sure that he feeds off it. He gives himself this pantomime villain kind of
persona
when he walks onto a pitch. You'll never meet a nicer guy off the pitch.
You couldn't meet a nicer guy. Alan McGregor a bit aggressive on the pitch.
Aye.
When it comes to coming out and catching a couple of balls, couldn't meet a nicer guy.
Yeah.
And it's the same with them all. They're professionals. They go out on the pitch to do one thing, and that's win for their club. Ah, you might get a bit angry. Ah, you might. People might look at you and think, "Oh, look at fucking face and him. I'd love to rip that off." Right? Do you know what? That's not let me off. I like a moan. I think if you ask anybody that knows me, I'm prone to a moaner 10. But I'm different from what you see.
I think it's a massively important thing because right now we're talking about the abuse that football players are having.
It's ridiculous.
And it is that I think fans are looking at the guys as they walk out onto the pitch and they've got their preconceived ideas and he's a wee whatever.
I'm going to say this is something that I'm quite passionate about. I've had it for day one. I had it at school starting for my brother, whether it was playing with my boys' club, playing with the school team. That's Derek Ferguson's wee brother. Used to get a bit on the pitch. Used to do my head in. as I obviously went and played with Rangers. What gives people the right to give you abuse out in the streets? I don't care. See, on the pitch, people could shout what they want, do what they want on a pitch. Because I was like that as a player. I was feisty, I was moany, I was angry. But for people to shout, I've had it for the last 25 years. I've reacted stupidly
on the street
a few occasions. But when it starts to affect your family, when you're walking down the street with your kids and people are shouting you an orange bee, this and that, when you're walking with young kids, these guys are absolute morons, you know what I mean? It cracks me up. And I've seen it.
Do you deal with it better now than you did?
I still get it.
Could it still, I mean, the Scott Brown stuff, sickening.
I've got a couple of things that I can do to stop myself for reacting.
Anger management.
I get a wee bit of that, aye. And then you look at what's been happening over the last, I don't know, number of years, racism, all that sort of stuff. And then you look at the stuff with Scott Brown last week, 2 weeks ago. What has that got to do with football?
Well, what goes through somebody's mind?
Go and shout out the pitch. Go and scream whatever you want. If that was me, I don't know if I would do it. I've got to take my hat off to him. How he reacted there was, he deserves a lot of credit.
He does, but I think, you know what? I think
it's ridiculous.
The message that you sent out, it was the look of hurt. It was the look of hurt in his face.
Aye, I know.
And it was just, really? You're going to that level? This is a guy's, you know.
It's not just Scott Brown. The amount of stuff that's been happening over the last few years, it's a joke, mate. Mm-hmm. These guys that can hide behind screens.
Well, social media's got a lot to blame for it.
These guys do it face to face. No chance. It's all right when you're 100 yards away.
Yeah, but I also think that, see, when people are on their computers or phones or whatever, and they're seen going to Twitter or whatever site they go on to, and it's just abuse, abuse, abuse. Mm-hmm. Guys with no names, anonymous trolls, abusing people. I think it seeps into their psyche that, oh, that's what you do. I think they've become desensitised in real life, so they think it's all right to see Scott Brown and say something like that.
What their mum and dads think?
Well,
what their parents think?
I'm sure they'd be absolutely horrified.
About some of the stuff that gets put on, some of the stuff that gets said. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Sad. They're sad individuals.
Yep. But anyway, that goes back to Neil Lennon. And Barry, you're saying that Rangers can get a result in the first night. Celtic and Rennes as a draw. I would say right now I'd sign for a draw.
I think they can go over there. They've shown that they certainly, there's no bigger test than an Old Firm game and coming and defending well and controlling the vast majority of a game. So they've got to take confidence from that.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the Hamilton performance wasn't amazing, was it? But it's 3 points clean sheet. That's the way he'll be looking at it. And I'm sure they can go over there and come away with at least a point.
Point's a good result.
A point's a great result in Europe. Agreed. You take that all day.
Agreed. Now, what we'll go back to the weekend now, Barry, because obviously we've got an Edinburgh derby coming forward, which I described the other day. It seems a bit as pointless as two bald men arguing over a phone. No offence, Henrik, your producer. Don't take that the wrong way. Henrik's as bald as a coot. That's
yours,
what it feels
you're
like.
You're so far away.
My hairline's fine. This is stay. Listen, but it's been like this for years. It's not going any further. I'll keep my hair. It might turn grey, but that was probably just for doing this podcast. This Edinburgh derby, the two teams are going in on an absolutely horrendous run of form. You've got people baying for blood with Paul Heckenbottom. You've got fans outside the front door. A Tynecastle try to storm the place to get Craig Levein out. What's your take on all this?
Well, first, Hearts, my take is, I look at the Hearts squad.
It's a very good squad.
Yep. Now, what's the strongest part of a team? Spine of the team. Halkett, very good player.
Mm-hmm.
Thought he was excellent for Livingston. Deserved to get his move. Berra, good experienced player. Whelan in the middle of the park, another good experienced player. Naismith, Ekpiezu. And then surrounding that, they've got a lot of decent ones. I'm surprised, but see when it starts and fans demonstrating outside, you're in trouble.
Yeah, it's very hard to ring it back for them.
You're in trouble. I mean, when I heard that there was demonstrations, I'm thinking, what, maybe 10, 20 fans outside. And actually, until I seen the pictures, it was hundreds.
Mm.
Now, you can see there's been a lot of discontent in the stands. Well, obviously, the results. For me, I look at Hearts, as I say, strong squad, a lot of good players. They're a big club, Hearts. Great stadium, great training facilities.
Everyone's in place.
I think they've got, do you know what? I think they've got a great owner. I love listening to her.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I think she's been great for Hearts
mm-hmm.
and Budge. But he's in serious trouble. When fans start protesting outside.
Well, I wrote the other day that if he cares as much as clearly he must do for Hearts, there's a right thing to do here.
I've spoken
and the right thing
times,
to do is to walk away for
I've
this.
Spoke to him a number of times, Craig Levein, and I can only go in my experience of talking to him now. Quite a lot of pundits have got their own conclusions of what they think of him. I thought he was a good man. I thought he spoke well. He's no stupid.
No, he's certainly not stupid.
He's no stupid. He knows that. I think it'd be crazy to sack him this week. And it all depend on the
results. So he's got one game.
And then if he goes and wins that game,
buy himself some time.
Aye.
Slowly turn it around.
And bear in mind, I think the reason why there's been a lot of pressure under him is, as I say before, they're a big club.
He's director of football and manager. It's a unique setup. That's not healthy.
I've never seen that before.
He's manipulated the situation. As you said, he's not a stupid man. He's a very intelligent man.
Yep, he is.
He's manipulated this situation in order to get himself into a really. He's embedded himself.
Ask me something here. If they dismiss him for his job, you kind of go back upstairs.
I don't think so. No. So I think that's what's part of the problem.
Yep.
That you can't just say, right, you've had your crack at managing.
He knows himself. He's under pressure this week. This is a massive week for him. I'm sure on that training ground, he'll be working with players and there'll be plenty of meetings, believe me. And this weekend, I think it'll be, for two of them.
Is his head on a block, do you think? If he loses this,
it's going to be difficult. Why? Because you see, as I said, fans, when fans start protesting,
that's a problem.
You're in a sticky situation.
Mm-hmm. And it's no much better for Heckenbottom across the city.
No, it's no.
It's just that bad.
I think when he first came in, he had initial reaction, which normally happens. He's got a hard act to follow in Lenny. I thought Lenny done great for Hibs. I actually enjoyed watching Hibs.
They were a great sight to watch.
They conceded goals, but I tell you what, they could score goals. Mm-hmm. They were very attractive going forward. Aye, they conceded a few sloppy ones, but I thought they were in a good place, Hibs. Whatever happened there, obviously it fell into place for Lenny, isn't it? He's back at the club, but that obviously means a lot to him. But he's under pressure as well. Again, I look at them and they've got some decent players as well, Hibs. Mm-hmm. Again, Hibs is another big club, a beautiful stadium, their own training ground. I don't think it's as bad in terms of the fans protesting yet, but
it's not. It could be worse. They could be Hearts. That's the bottom line right now. That's where Hibs are going into this derby.
They're in 4 points for 15.
Yeah. Well, the two of them, they're 24 last league games. There's only been two wins. I mean, this is supposed to be two sides.
I look at Hearts and Hibs. I'll be honest with you. If you're asking, I look at Hearts and Hibs, and I think they're top four.
Aye, should be.
Top four, top five, easy, all mm-hmm. day long. That's
so in Aberdeen, that's you get your top five and it's AN other, isn't it?
Yep. So that's the way I look at it. So they've got to be. Look, they'll know they're under pressure. They're big clubs, as I said.
Okay, right. Well, give us your tip for Easter Road. What's your scoreline? Because I'm telling you now,
I think Hearts will win the game.
Well, I think the worst result possible for both sides is a draw. And I think they might just get it.
No,
and that'll allow both to limp on.
No, I think Hearts will win the game. There you go.
And Levein will stay.
I think Hearts will win it, yep.
And Levein will stay.
Aye.
Well, sorry for the Hearts fans that tuned in to.
But you're asking me for a prediction. I think Hearts will go Easter Road and win the game. Big key thing, no Nasey as well. Yes. He's massive for them.
Aye. And listen, it showed last season. Start of the season, absolutely.
I think
flying.
Hearts without Naismith, and I don't think one player makes a team, but he makes
very
one hell of a
difference.
He makes one hell of a difference to Hearts. And sure, they'll be trying everything in their power to try and get him fit for that game. So
maybe the director of football will become the masseur and the medic. And
well, I'm going for a Hearts win. What are you going for?
I'm going for the draw.
You're just sitting the fence as normal.
No, do you know why that's not sitting in the fence in this case? Because
so what do you
it's
think
actually
will
the worst
then?
Result that can happen for
so
them all.
What do you think will happen?
I think it'll be a draw.
Right.
I think it'll be a 1-1 draw.
What about the managers?
I think both managers will say, well, we didn't get defeated, we'll roll on, we'll move on. And I think the situations which need to be addressed won't be addressed. And Budge seems to be terrified of addressing the situation with Levine. A draw at Easter Road, well, limp on for another week.
I wouldn't say Anne Buttage, you know, I think she's been good for Hearts.
I think she's great at running a business. I'm not sure she's great at running. She's great at running the business side of the football club.
Yep.
She's let Craig Levein in total charge of the football side of the football club.
She must
club.
Have a hell of a lot of trust in him then.
She does. But they're sitting bottom of the league. They're in relegation form.
Yep.
He's got a win rate of 11%, which, by the way, is less than half of the win rate Ian Cattle had. 26%.
You were saying off mic that I couldn't believe that when you say that to him, 11%. It's no great.
Well, there's only one thing that happens to a manager with an 11% win rate.
Yep, and do you know what?
Unless you're the director of football as well.
You don't get 3 points on Sunday, it's going to be hard for him to stay.
Right, okay, well, that's rolling on to next week. Barry, we'll be back for the next instalment of the Fergie Time podcast, and we'll be discussing what's going on at the weekend, where it leaves everybody, and watching Craig Levein and Paul Heckenbotham limp on for another couple of weeks.
Cheers.